This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Oh, I do love Carmen. It reminds me of my checkered past. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off. And we're going to do the same thing we did last week, which is this show is going to go all kinds of places. And we are enjoying this collaboration lately between Spouting Off and my show and the Keith Hansen Show, which is powered by the Hagman Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. Why? Because we can. I have had the privilege. I think I'll try to figure out what the meaning of that word is. I love that kind of thing. Words are fascinating. I've had the privilege of doing Keith Hansen's show all week long, starting Tuesday to Friday, not only his evening show, but his local show, which he just got on WSMN New Hampshire. And so because there is a lot of overlap, but also a lot of important similar differences, we don't march in lockstep like the left. We have some terrific guests that we want you to enjoy. So on the Keith Hansen Show front, you can go to keithhansenshow.com or HagmanReportLive.com to listen to his show or stream it on demand. You can also find it on iTunes and Spreaker. And Keith would want me to tell you, because he told me to tell you, that he loves emails, and so do I. KeithOnTheAir@gmail.com. That's KeithOnTheAir@gmail.com. Twitter, you can find him at Parler, the same handle, which is at RealKeithHansen.com. So, my show, Spouting Off, some people tell me it's perfect for me because I spout off, and you can spout off too. Ordinarily, you can call the show. It's a live call-in talk radio show, heard Friday at 2 p.m., and occasionally we have to do a simulcast or a recording because I might be doing live radio somewhere else, which is the case today. We also welcome the K-Star Radio Network, which we love and adore, not only because they play Spouting Off, our show, but because they are conservative, and we like that. I have to tell you, I have been watching some technological gremlins all over the internet lately. My internet website was hacked. We're working on getting it put back together again. In some cases, even larger organizations are being hacked. I only mention that because from now until Election Day, we all have to be as vigilant and aware as possible. There are people who simply don't want us to have freedom in this country, freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom to make our own decisions, and freedom to think our own thoughts. Case in point, I've been ranting, I've been spouting off about the cult of the mask, and I'm just seeing it expand exponentially. I saw it coming. I think a lot of conservatives did too. But if you think about it, the mask has so many meanings, and because I love my producer, Doug, from BBS Radio, I'm going to let him play this little soundbite, which should tell you just exactly where I'm going with this. Thank you, Doug. Let's go for it. Play that, baby.
If Joe Biden is elected president, he's hinting at an executive order that would read something like this. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered as follows. Everyone must wear a face mask.
You would, in effect, mandate the wearing of masks.
I would do everything in my possible to make it required that people had to wear masks in public.
Do everything I'm a possible. Do everything in my possible. And that's not even why I chose that soundbite. Thank you, Doug, for that. You're going to see more and more of this. Communist Harris, that's what I'm going to be calling her from now on. She's not Kamala Harris, she's Communist Harris. And if you doubt me, and you're allowed, because see, we're not the left, I direct you to the riveting interview I did yesterday with Trevor Loudon, who says, and he has the facts and the research to prove it, he says Kamala Harris is a red diaper baby. I find it fascinating, among other things, that you can, it's outrageous and shocking to accuse people of being a communist, but when they really are, and when there's a communist plot in this country to bring down this country and bring down capitalism, bring down America as it was founded, with its boundaries and uniqueness, its extraordinary founding, when America is being attacked from within and calling it out, as the left likes to call it, that is shocking. The actual act of it is not shocking, I should say, but calling it out is. That's where we've come in this country, where we're living in an alternate universe. Also, I direct you to read my piece, which is at my website, KarenCataline.com. So now we have Joe Biden and Democrats all over the country pushing the cult of the mask. Now, they just completely ignore the fact that there's a contradiction and a difference of opinion. And we know that there's censorship happening less than 3 months before the presidential election, in that we're not allowed to disagree. Cults are supposed to be the answer to everything, supposed to save, as Biden puts it, 40,000 lives. He already said that there were 150 million people that died from coronavirus. That's how, and then he corrected himself, but that's how completely detached from reality and from any kind of sanity this man is, both 30 years ago and now. But now you just superimpose the mid-stages of some kind of dementia on the man. And people know it. So there's an entirely different reality that we're watching, and we're being told, oh, just don't pay attention to that reality. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you obey. That's what matters. Why, I ask you, and I will continue to ask you, why are masks an obsession among these leftist governors and leftist unelected bureaucrats? From national figures to Nancy Pelosi to every single Democrat to every Democrat governor, 30 states are mandating masks now. It doesn't matter how preposterous, it doesn't matter how stupid, because if you really think masks will make a difference, then I got nothing to say to you. Even if they did make a difference, and they don't, we're talking about a virus that has a minuscule fatality rate. You have a much higher chance of getting hurt, God forbid, by getting in your car and driving to the grocery store. Think about that. That's a much higher death rate in this country. If the media had spent so much time fear-mongering, and they will at some point, because they don't want us driving our cars either. Pretty soon, out of nowhere, they're going to tell you that it is horrible, terrible, and awful, and dangerous, and for your own good that we take away your automobiles. No single person ought to be driving an automobile on the streets. It doesn't matter what they tell you. The point is force. It's all about force. It's not about the thing. It's about the force. Somebody sent me something which you can agree or disagree. I'm presenting it to you not because I buy into every bit of it, but because it is something that the left and the increasingly autocratic, authoritarian left doesn't want you to see, just like they don't want you to know about hydroxychloroquine. When was it in this country that censorship was so ho-hum, as I've been saying? When has it become an act of some kind of radicalism simply to question what you're being told? The left used to do that regularly, but not anymore. Now they all march in lockstep like a bunch of zombies. So this piece is WakingTimes.com, exposing the cult corona initiation ritual. They're saying that mask wearing is a ritual for censorship, a ritual of submission, of dehumanization, of alternate persona. Now, I'll tell you what, I've been analyzing that, and I didn't have to read that article to say so. I didn't have to read that article to know that there's something otherworldly, something quite sinister about forcing an entire country to wear masks. Even more amazing, Joe Biden is running on this? Biden, Kamala Harris? They're riding on this? They're going to run their campaign on this? We have about a minute left. You're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network. And today we're simulcasting with the Keith Hansen Show. And you can hear the Keith Hansen Show 9 to 11, 9 to 10 Eastern. When we come back, I'm going to introduce you to someone you may not have heard about. She is a spokesperson for Truckers Against Trafficking. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Karen Cataline, this is my show. I'm home spouting off. And you can listen to Spouting Off by just going to www.karencataline.com. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be back with Truckers Against Trafficking. Stay tuned.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KstarRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spouting Off and our simulcast with the Keith Hansen Show. Powered by the Hagman Report and the Global Star Radio Network. I'm delighted to have found this spokesperson for an organization called Truckers Against Trafficking. Ashley Smith is a director of energy operations and also a spokesperson for Truckers Against Trafficking. Welcome to Spouting Off and the Keith Hansen Show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Well, I am glad to have you as well. Some people who listen to my show know that I live kind of a Green Acres life. It's kind of funny. putting the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. I'm Jewish, but I found myself a real man, a trucker. Now he trains other truckers, but he has 5 million miles on the road as a fuel hauler and other things. So transportation and trucking and all those things are his wheelhouse. And he was the one who told me about an organization called Truckers Against Trafficking. So I looked you up and I tracked you down, and I'm delighted to have you. One other thing, and that is that in politics, and you know I'm sort of a political junkie because you, Ashley Smith, and I have chatted a little bit. In politics, certainly in the next 3 months and for the rest of the year, we hope, we're continuing to hear more and more about human trafficking, not the kind of traffic you have as a trucker, but human trafficking. And it has become a very critical and important issue that I think political watchers know we're going to be hearing more about. So tell us about your organization, Truckers Against Trafficking, and why this organization right now, right here?
Awesome. Sure. So our organization, we exist to educate, equip, empower, and mobilize members of the trucking, bus, and energy industries to combat human trafficking as a part of their regular jobs. So we know all of those industries that we work with, a lot of times they're considered essential. So they are out and about in our American communities. They're working. They're seeing things that other people may not notice because these employees are trained to be observant and to recognize things that don't seem normal. So the thought being that if they knew what human trafficking was and how to identify it, that they could be important reporters, so they might be able to help recover somebody from a situation and help to get traffickers arrested.
Mm. And you train truckers, right? You do actual training to help them identify high-risk situations and what to look for, right?
Yes. So we have training resources. A lot of it goes back to an actual training video that's a free resource that any trucking company can use to bring this awareness to their drivers so that they can be those potential reporters out there.
Yeah. And it's funny, people have to kind of realize, I guess, that let me back up. One of the things I learned being married to a trucker is that truckers are used to being invisible on our roads and elsewhere. People just don't realize that everything they get, I think during the big coronavirus shutdowns, they were enlightened quite a bit that every supply, their food, everything comes by truck. It's not like we have pipelines all over the country underground where you just get your gas. No, somebody has to deliver that gas and put it in the ground, among other things. And so to that end, a lot of people don't realize that truckers are on the roads out where the people are, and they see everything on the roads. As you have said, they are trained to be aware of stuff. And, of course, young runaways hang out in truck stops who look like they have nowhere to go. Tell us more about that. What are truckers likely to see in truck stops that, you know, the average person may not be paying attention to?
Mm-hmm. And before I hop into that, I do want to just reiterate that truck drivers, they're trained to be observant because they have to in the jobs that they're doing. So in truck stops and hotels and motels, and even when they're going to businesses, runaways, potential trafficking victims, they know where people are going to be. And that's truckers, because they may be there at any point in the day. So a trucker may notice somebody that might be dressed inappropriately for the weather. They may look like they're hungry. They may see another person dropping off people in a location. So when that trucker notices that and they kind of see those red flags, they have the resource. We always direct them to the National Human Trafficking Hotline because they work with law enforcement and service providers. So when a truck driver can see that and they can be that reporter. They may be able to get that runaway or that potential victim help and services that they may not have gotten otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And for people who don't really know this is going on, and, you know, you train truckers, but it's very valuable to train our listeners as well. Let's talk about human trafficking in general. For people who don't understand not only child trafficking, but human trafficking, what does that actually mean? And is it a rising problem in this country, or is it just standard for America? I think a lot of people wonder that question. I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you.
So human trafficking, by definition, it's the exploitation of human beings through force, fraud, or coercion for either the purposes of commercial sex or forced labor. So in both of these situations, there is a third party that is making a profit off of the work of somebody else. So it covers both sex and labor trafficking. And it is a problem in the United States, and it's something that's getting a lot more attention, especially as people become aware of what the issue is and what it really looks like. So when people used to say, oh, that person's choosing to sell themselves, they're starting to understand that a lot of times that's actually trafficking, and how force, fraud, and coercion play a part in that. And it's important to note that according to the federal definition of this, anybody under the age of 18 can't consent to sell themselves. So they are automatically a victim of human trafficking, and force, fraud, and coercion don't have to be proven in those cases. And they need services and help to get out of that situation.
Absolutely. And as a social worker and a person with strong libertarian opinions, I mean, I'm not a card-carrying libertarian by any means, but this is a law that makes total sense. When people are under the age of consent and they are not able to make a decision as an adult, then if they are being used for sexual purposes, whether there's a pimp in the picture or not, it still is the adult's responsibility to make sure that child is being protected. And I wholly agree with that particular thing. I might be going off the beaten path here, but I did write a book about child beauty pageants. Matter of fact, I'm going to do an interview on a TV show next week about that. It seems to be coming back for some reason. And I wrote an article about an 11-year-old drag queen. And it's strange that the culture is beginning to accept some of this stuff, which is wholly inappropriate and sexual exploitation. But when you attach something like, oh, it's LGBT, then suddenly you take leave of your senses. And it doesn't matter whether it's L or G or B or T or Q. If the child is underage and is being used for those purposes, it is wrong. It's amazing to me. Have you come in contact with, I know it's a little off the beaten track for what you do, but I mean, did you know about the 11-year-old drag queen? This was real big before politics turned upside down even more in this country. Are you aware of that story by chance?
Not that specific story, but we do have a lot of followers on social media that send us just various Facebook posts and news stories about that happening, about people underage that are being put into pageants and that type of stuff. That's not okay for those people that are underage. That shouldn't be the way that they're making money and
not
that type of stuff. So it's always tough to see those stories because you want better for everybody.
I want to qualify that, and people would have to read my book, which is just fine. It was published in 2012, called Fat Lash, Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It doesn't even talk about beauty pageants in the title. I was going to call it Body Armor, but you know, maybe I should have. The point is that children who perform, you know, and are performing as kids, I have no problem with that necessarily. I wouldn't do it if I had a kid necessarily, but a kid who sings and dances, as I did, is not the problem. It's the sexualizing of children that I have the problem with. It is suddenly loosening of social mores that's okay. You know, as soon as you sexualize a child beyond his or her developmental level, something else is going on there. But to get back to human trafficking and sex trafficking of kids, which we are hearing much more, a growing stories in Hollywood and in politics. What can you tell our listeners about what they can learn? And is there a video that they can watch right online to inform them so maybe they could save a kid or save a potential victim?
Sure. So there are a lot of resources out there, and all of our resources are geared towards industry. So you can watch them, and you can still learn good information, but it may be a little different if you're not a truck driver or a bus driver. But a lot of those red flag indicators are important. But
we have to rush off. So give us the number, if you would, please, and your website. Do you have a website? You do, right?
We do. So our website is truckersagainsttrafficking.org, and the hotline number is 1-888-373-7888. And anyone, whether they're sure or not, truck driver or not, if you suspect human trafficking, you can call that hotline, and they can help you to determine if what you're seeing is trafficking and what those best next steps are. And they have great resources as well.
Ashley Smith of Truckers Against Trafficking, thank you so much for all that you do. Very important to raise awareness and, you know, give courage to everyday people that really do care about kids and people being victimized. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too, Ashley. That's truckersagainsttrafficking.org. When we come back, we're going to have a wonderful guest, Dr. Cordy Williams. He has a story. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. You're listening to Spouting Off and The Keith Hansen Show right here. We'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And welcome back to our happy simulcast with Spouting Off and The Keith Hansen Show. I am delighted to have as our guest right now Dr. Cordy Williams, who, among other things, was threatened with arrest after flying aboard a plane with a mask deemed not appropriate, even though he has a medical exemption. That was the reason I invited him on, but then I found out that he's a decorated Marine, a holistic neurological chiropractor, and he runs a site called 1776 Forever Free. I can't wait to talk to him. Dr. Cordy Williams. Thanks for joining us here on Spouting Off and the Keith Hansen Show.
Well, thanks for having me, Karen. It's a real honor. Really appreciate it.
It is an honor. The honor is mine, actually.
Tell us
first about, were you always politically active? You're a decorated Marine. You're a chiropractor. You have about the kind of background I have. And yet now you run this great site called 1776 Forever Free. How'd you come by all that?
Well, we're a community organization and about to move into a nonprofit status, but you know how that status works with during these COVID times. But, you know, like many Americans and many of your viewers out there, I really just, when this, I call it a scamdemic, not that there's not people that haven't died from it. My heart goes out to all those people. But I'm talking about the way that it was handled, the draconian measures with facial condoms and all that stuff. And so like many
facial
Americans,
condoms.
I just, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to borrow
facial
that.
Condoms. Please do. Please do. Hashtag facial condoms. Please. Yeah, please do.
Really? all right.
But, you know, it was kind of like feeling pressed up against the wall, like so many Americans. And when it started in March, not really knowing where it was going to go, how long it was going to last, just all that, you know, my wife said to me one day, she's like, hey, sweetie, you know, do you want to go do a protest? And I kind of thought about it and only took me a second. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty PO'd. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with the way it's being handled. Everything's shutting down and there's no plan for small businesses to like recover from this. And now we've only seen a small part of that impact, Karen. And so I just started protesting, going to rallies, really enjoyed it. And then my third rally after I did San Diego and Pacific Beach, I ended up in Sacramento. And after seeing people get thrown down, batoned, and handcuffed for real peaceful protests, I got on a megaphone and tried to talk to some sense into some CHP officers that Adolf Newsom had put, you know, had given unlawful orders to. And I just tried to appeal to honor, courage, and commitment and the values that were instilled in me in the Marine Corps. And it got about 15 million hits. And so I founded this organization.
Well, you know, and the reason that I was so pleased to find you is because this kind of thing is happening all over the country with liberty-loving patriots, but they don't really know that other people are doing the same thing. So we're kind of reinventing the wheel, which is not a bad thing because at least it's kind of diffuse. But on the other hand, we're fighting an opponent, a virulent virus of tyranny and communism that is marching in lockstep. I mean, we have, people know, I live in northern Colorado, we have a monopoly of political power here by the left. And as smart as Governor Jared Polis is, and he's smart and he's got a lot of money, he has not advanced and increased his power. He just handed himself endless emergency powers. All he had to do is be like Napoleon and say, I am now emperor, and now he's emperor. And he refuses to give up that power. We have a mask mandate in this state, and there are California wannabes. If people all over this country, because we know we have listeners from all over the country, actually all over the world, if they want to know what the left wants to do to their country, to our country, all they have to do is look at California, look at Washington State, at Oregon, anywhere there's a Democrat monopoly of power or any power at all. Even mayors are marching in lockstep. And what are they obsessed about? They're obsessed about keeping you terrified of this virus, even though it has a tiny, tiny fatality rate. And they're obsessed with these masks. I opened the monologue, and forgive me, this subject gets my hair on fire, and I'm going to give you a chance in a minute, I promise. We opened with Joe Biden, I mean, as if he's going to run on the fact that he would mandate masks nationwide, federally. The left is obsessed with these masks. I'm not going to say it because I say it and write it all the time. What do you think is going on with these masks? What is going on? And then you can tell us about your personal story about how you you were attacked for not wearing one.
Well, you know, there's only one choice on November 3rd, unless you want, because the bus of freedom is driving towards tyranny right now. As you said, the furnace said in World War II, it said Auschwitz, and now it says socialism. And so the question is, for every American out there, what do they want to do? Because everybody needs to be involved. Everybody needs to try to move the needle, because sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe is trying to get in there. And the mask mandate is only one of the, if you want to call it a platform or a talking point, or, I mean, it's pure lunacy, right? It's lunacy.
Yeah, but
it's draconian.
I mean, really, honestly, if I got to ask you, let's zero in on this from your perspective.
Yeah.
When there are politicians who are willing to ignore all the controversy, all the difference of opinion, put down difference of opinion in favor of obsession about these masks, I'm sure you've thought about, well, what is it about these masks that they're so married to, that they want so desperately to do to us, which is what they're doing?
It's a beta test of control. You know, you had the Star of David in World War II, and this mask is like, well, what can we get them to do? How much will they comply? Because, you know, in 2012, 224,000 people died of SARS under the Obama administration, but you heard crickets from the liberal fake news fear porn media. And now what we've got going on is it's almost like the numbers every day. It's this timer, you know, like where this countdown of how many infected cases. And to your point, I did a tabulation. I did my own numbers of Riverside County, Orange County, and L.A. County. And I didn't even get a full 0.5% from a mortality death rate standpoint. And so it's ridiculous. It's illogical. And you can see the sheep are everywhere. Unless you're Republican or conservative, 9 out of 10 people are not woke to what's happening. Their country's going down the toilet, and they're allowing it to happen. It's crazy.
Yep. Well, and I focus on this because if I had to choose one symbol of the insanity and the alternate reality of 2020, it would be the mask, because you have the unmasking of General Flynn, you have the masks of Antifa, the riots and burning cities to the ground and police stations and buildings and looting and rioting, and then you have the twisting of putting law-abiding citizens under house arrest and letting criminals out of jail because we want to protect them from coronavirus. I mean, you really could not make this stuff up. And so let's dive into what you've decided to do about it, because truly we are being presented with a completely farcical narrative that has nothing to do with the reality that we already know. And as far as I'm concerned, as soon as somebody presents something to you and says you're not allowed to disagree, that thing is already false to me, because if you can't test it, if you can't question it, then it's a cult. It's not an idea. So you've decided to take it upon yourself, and that's why I love the idea of you being on. Let's talk about your organization, 1776 Forever Free. Talk about it and how anybody all over the country can help you and maybe do one of their own.
Well, and thank you for saying that. I mean, you know, we started the organization because my business partner, Chris Lippe, and I, he had about 12 coffee chains that he sold to Starbucks in the 90s. We just saw the writing on the wall with the country, and we were kind of like, how can we use the platform and the notoriety that I've gained in California to move the needle? So we started doing rallies up and down California, and now we're about to launch thefreedomtourusa.com. where we have people like Dr. Rashid Bitar, Stacey Washington, Kevin Jackson, Tito Ortiz speaking, and we're going to Sacramento. We're going to Missouri. We are about to confirm a location in Colorado, although that's been pretty miserable because of Governor Polis, because he's a pole or a tool. You could call him one or the other.
So you're coming to Colorado. Love
yes, ma'am.
That.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the name of this? Yeah.
What's the name of the tour?
Yes.
It's the freedomtourusa.com. And if your viewers went on 1776foreverfree.com, they can just click on the little tab at the top, and they'll get a drop-down menu where it'll say Freedom Tour 2020. And they can go right there, and there's a whole schedule.
But all right, so what's going to happen on this Freedom Tour?
Well, we're getting A-listers. I mean, we've got we're finishing up at some of the locations, defining all the speakers. Only because of the COVID scam permitting, it literally took like 5 weeks to get, I mean, with knowing mayors and governors and things like that, it took a while to get all the locations confirmed. But what they can expect is country music singers, entertainment, 2 hours of fun, you know, food trucks, beer trucks, wine trucks. It's going to be safe. There's going to be, for the people that do want a mask, I mean, I'm not anti-safety. I'm just anti-stupidity. And here's the thing.
Well, and they're anti-freedom. You know, they're anti-freedom. That's what's really going on here.
100%.
And may I say that
yes, ma'am.
The freedom of assembly is part of what is so much under attack right now. In an election year, notice no Trump rallies, no political organizing. Everybody has to be suspicious of their neighbor. You have to be snitched upon by your neighbor. Sounds like the old Soviet Union to me. Did you have trouble? Are you saying you had trouble getting permission to exercise your First Amendment rights to free assembly in Colorado?
Well, they'll try to say that's not the case, but yes. But we're about to, I'll just say real bluntly, we're about to give a very loud middle finger to your governor, a very loud one. And it's going to be great, and it's going to be beautiful.
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful.
I love
it. It's going to be
awesome.
We'll
talk off the air, because I'm happy to help you in any way
you,
I can.
I'm flattered.
To give you locations or people to call. If you ask me to sing the national anthem at that event, I would be honored to do so. I am a professional singer. I will be there.
Karen, I'm honored. Seriously, please get my cell phone number from Sutton. Please do. I would absolutely love that.
Okay, I got
good.
It, and I'll get you good. Mine as well. What I'm trying to do here is, you know what, we're going to take another quick break, I think. And when we come back, we're going to help ask Dr. Cordy Williams to give us a little bit of a blueprint and a breakdown as to how you can do this in your town, in your state. It's time to stand up. It's time to speak up. And Dr. Cordy Williams, you can borrow this because I love slogans. If you roll over now, you'll be bending over later. You like it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I couldn't have said it more perfectly.
Okay, so we got about 20 seconds. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dr. Williams is going to give you a blueprint, not only how you can participate with him where he's going, but start doing it on your own. We're going to be back right after this. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline and The Keith Hansen Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off, and the simulcast of the Keith Hansen Show. I am delighted to be talking to Dr. Cordy Williams, decorated Marine, a holistic neurological chiropractor, and founder of the website 1776foreverfree.com. That's www.1776foreverfree.com. This is a man who doesn't take things lying down. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Cordy Williams.
Thank you for having me, Karen. It's great to be with you today, for sure.
It is. And, you know, people are learning that we're the ones on the front lines. You know, we're the ones that brung Donald Trump to the dance, and we're the ones that have to reelect him, no question about it. And we're learning that our founders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And it's kind of like that today. We're being called upon to stand up for liberty, to stand up for this country, and to stand up for freedom. Now Donald Trump has taken the mask off the communists, the socialists, the radicals, and the people that want to destroy this country. And the people that are going to stand up are those who say no, no, and hell no. So you're called the Megaphone Marine, and it says you were threatened with arrest after flying aboard a plane with a mask deemed not appropriate, even though you have a medical exemption. Tell us that story.
Yeah, well, I think I was on the Jimmy Lakey show the other day, and the story's pretty long, all the funny parts. So, you know, I'll just kind of try to make it as short as I possibly can. But basically, after showing them their policies, I was wearing my wife's thong on my face as my mask, because it says in their policy it only has to cover the nose and mouth. And I go to board, lady says, basically, you know, sir, you need a mask. I said, I have one. She said, that's not appropriate. There's children and kids on the plane. And so I said, very quickly to her, I said, well, they've seen underwear before. What's the problem with that? They've all seen underwear. And one thing led to another. I show her the policies, and the real nasty part got when her supervisor came over, and then her supervisor started to say I should be ashamed of myself. And I had a folded up triangle flag under my arm, because that's one of the presentations I do at many of these rallies. She said, you should be ashamed to ever say that you wore a uniform or to have been in the military.
Wow.
And I just said, well, if I was 20 years younger, I'd tell you what I really think about that. I boarded the plane, poked holes in the mask that they gave me after I went back and forth with the agents and really felt like I was going to get arrested, before I ever left in San Diego. Flew, got in the air, put the underwear back on, had several disagreements with them, and went back and forth showing them their policies. And then they told the pilot, it looked like I might get arrested when I landed. So I said, okay, I'll take the underwear off my hat. And then when we landed, the same lady that told me she had, asked the pilot or whatever, because I kind of questioned her, I said, well, I'm going to ask the pilot when we get off this plane if you really talked to him or not, if he really told you to instruct me to take the my facial condom off my face. And so I approached this woman as I'm exiting the plane, and I said, where's the pilot? And she said, he's right out on the jet bridge. My brother-in-law is probably, he's from New York. Bro is like, you know, him saying the F word, basically. He says bro like every other word. And so they had said bro to me several times, the flight attendant said. And so I just not thinking, being a former Marine, I walk up to this pilot that's probably at least 60, possibly even mid-60s. He hadn't aged well, and he was probably 6'2". And I walk up to him, and I go, excuse me, bro. And he gets about 2 inches from my face with his index finger, proceeds to scream at me and say, you don't call me bro, you call me sir. And then I had some very direct expletives, as you can imagine, telling him to get out of my face. And then we went back and forth. He proceeded to scream at me and say, I'm ordering you to put on a mask now. And I smiled at him and I said, well, good thing that your authority and jurisdiction ended the moment we landed here. So I'm not going to do that. You're not going to order me to do anything. And I started to walk away from him. And then him and one of his cronies or subordinates started to follow me. I turn around. I'm walking down the jet bridge backwards. We're about 50% through the jet bridge. They're spouting off stuff towards me. I spout it off towards them. I start talking to them about the Constitution. They said an expletive towards me. They said an expletive towards me, so I told them where to stick it. Then basically the 65-year-old pilot starts screaming and telling his subordinate to call the sheriff's department and get me arrested.
Wow.
And then the pilot proceeds to run off the jet bridge, run into the airport, and he's going business to business, Karen, telling all the businesses to call the police on me, and he follows me all the way to baggage claim. The pilot follows me. Yeah, this is the pilot the whole time. That was Southwest behavior of their pilots. Yeah.
Southwest Airlines?
Southwest Airlines.
Southwest Airlines. I used to like
ma'am.
Them.
Yeah, I know.
Dr. Williams, go ahead. We gotta switch gears a little bit, but God, I have so many things to say about that. Do you feel, I just got to say, it's like people have turned into zombies. If they've drunk the Kool-Aid, they're zombies, and they've been brainwashed, and we're turning life upside down. Law-abiding citizens who are fighting for freedom are now selfish criminals. Criminals who burn cities down, as I've said many times, because it's so incomprehensible to me, are now the law abiders because, they wear masks, you know. So this is insanity, and I cannot tell you how proud I am to hear this, because liberty-loving conservatives are usually so law-abiding and so darn nice that they usually go along to get along because they don't like confrontation. And you're a perfect, beautiful, marvelous example of the fact that you serve this country to protect our liberties. And you ain't backing down. So applause, applause to you. Applause. How can you get people who share, who share our values? They're not even values. It's normal, common sense America, which just had a psychotic break starting in March. And people have either forgotten or never knew what liberty was and what this country stands for. Those people who share our views, what can you tell them as how to stop being afraid? Because the truth of the matter is, this is as easy as it's going to get. It's going to get a whole lot worse if we do not stand up. There will come a time in which we will be prevented from standing up. So what can you tell the people in our few minutes left?
Yes, ma'am. There's power in numbers. There's power in numbers. So, they need to – now's the time to step up and lean in to those fears. Because I didn't get into this for myself. I got into this for my kids. I have a 4-year-old. I have an 18-month-old. And I remember what it was like to look at a Marine and listen to the Star Spangled Banner. And, honestly, Karen, I get choked up when I think about it. And I want my boys to grow up in a world that has that. So what your viewers can do is they can go to 1776foreverfree.com. They can buy a Freedom Fighter t-shirt. They can donate. They can come to these rallies across the U.S. because we've got a following of probably anywhere from 60 to 80,000 right now. It's building every day. They can join the 1776 Freedom Fighters private group. I was on stage with Brandon Strock 2 weeks ago. I was on stage last week with David Harris Jr. And we're just moving the needle on this thing. And the way to do that is by getting like-minded Americans to come together, say enough is enough. One of the next campaigns I'm going to do is getting multiple people to fly into multiple cities, get a group of 60 people to buy tickets from several locations going on a flight destined to get to the same location. And if you had 180 or 250 people getting on flights who had booked tickets the same flight, and 80% of that plane refuses to wear a mask, I don't know. I think that could be a really financially damaging day to whatever airline that was. And I want to play ball a little bit.
Yeah, and I do too. You think like I do. Let me give you another idea that I've just spread around. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me who takes credit for it. I call it the a flash mob. We have government grocery stores now. They're doing business with the government. That's why the government gave them special privileges and shut down small businesses selling the same products as a Walmart or a Home Depot or wherever, or King Soopers. And so it's a very simple thing. Everybody anywhere in the entire country can do it. If there is a grocery store that has stricter mask rules than anyone else, or if they're doing business with the government and they've become a mouthpiece for the government, you go in, you fill your cart, or you don't, it's up to you. You do that with 30, 50, 100 people in a store, and then at the appropriate time, you remove your mask, sing the national anthem, which ends with home of the free, land of the free, and home of the brave, and you all walk out. Period. End of story. And then you do it again, repeat somewhere else. Rinse and repeat. So
I love it.
I only have a minute left of the show, and I urge you to use that along with all your other ideas, and you and I are going to be talking, darling. We're going to be talking. Tell everybody one more time the website, and then you can stay on the line while I wrap up the show, because I like to wrap it up by giving a few thanks. Go ahead.
I love it. Well, you can go to www.1776foreverfree.com, buy a Freedom Fighter t-shirt. You can donate there, even if it's $2. We need it to launch this tour. You can pray for us. We're finding out about a big sponsor today. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Semper Fi. Dr. Cordy Williams, you're going to be watching him. That is it for Spouting Off and for the Keith Hansen Show. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to Keith Hansen, and to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be oh so much to spout off about here on Spouting Off.